Ambulance service staff are out on strike today, members of the union Unite, and we're going to be asking the question, sort of, what kind of impact is that having? And of course, for you, has it impacted you? Do you have sympathy? Do you have support? Joining me now is the Unite Union's Kevin McAdam, and also John McPoland, who's from the ambulance service. Kevin, let's start with you. First of all, to talk us through what's happening today, how many members are out, how many members do you have, what level of support do you have for this strike?
Good morning, Joel. Say first, we have about 250 members across the service, the ambulance service, in paramedics, control room and other roles within the service. So that's about a quarter of the population or workforce of the ambulance service.
And how many actually voted in the ballot for this strike? Because you know this comes up many times, and people will be asking, well, how many of the members took part in the ballot and how many actually voted to go out on strike?
The ballot took place back in August of last year. It conformed to the legislation. There was a majority in favour of taking strike action, and that's where we are, and that's where we've been since then. We've been taking industrial action since October as part of our pay campaign 2014-2015.
But how many of the members actually voted?
The figures, I think, was around about 25%.
So you only had a 25% turnout?
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people listening to that will hear that figure and they'll say to themselves, you know, only a quarter of the members actually even bothered to vote. I mean, and you're holding sort of people to ransom over that. And they'll look at that and they'll say, well, they find that difficult to accept.
Joel, many of the politicians in Northern Ireland were killed for a 25% turnout in their name. So I think we have to put things into perspective. We have a legitimate...
But if things are so bad, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if things are so bad, a lot of them will look at it and say, if there is such a strong feeling, why would 75% of the members not even bother to vote?
Well, I'll tell you what, here we are over 6 months later, and our members are still taking industrial action. They want to take industrial action because they want to get a message through to the people in Stormont that the health service, 70% of which, the cost of which is staff, is being totally disrespected by the politicians up on the hill.
Is the strike solid today, as far as you know so far?
The messages I'm getting is there are pickets on many lines, and that those that were scheduled to work, there are people walking off or had walked off the job. So we're very clear that today has been a good turnout. I would say that this is part of the collective trade union groups of industrial action across the health service. As you say, last week there was midwives and radiographers. Next week there could be others. So this is about two things. It's not about causing suffering or hardship to the public of Northern Ireland. It's about getting the message through to Stormont that they engage with us and recognise a means of payment, which is the pay review body recommendation. They recommended 1%, and the government reneged. That's the Stormont government. Scotland, England and Wales were all able to settle their disputes, yet Northern Ireland refuses even to engage.
But we've heard already, I mean, we know that effectively, you know, the executive at Stormont are looking for loose change down the back of the sofa. I mean, the money's not there.
So let me tell you, the money is there. Mr. Pooch in July told us the money was there for the recommendations of the pay review body. The employers, that's the trust, have told us that they had made provision to pay. The government, that is Minister Wells or whoever's going to be it next week, are telling us, no, they can't afford to pay. The money's there. It's just the willingness not there. They want to penalise public sector workers all the time. And this is just another one where they can...
But you know as well as anybody that money could be spent in any number of areas across the health service, and it's a case of prioritising.
It is, and we say it's time to prioritise the staff. They've been cutting the wages of staff in real terms 15% over the last 4 years, and our members cannot take that. In fact, the service cannot stand that, because the next thing we'll see is people leaving the service, people retiring out of the service, and people not given the extra bit that they've always done in the service. So it's the service that will suffer if they don't respect the staff in the health service.
Will this delay 999 calls today?
I wouldn't expect it. Well, it's not designed to. It's a number of measures designed to cause disruption to managing of the service. It's not designed at getting at the public. This is not what it's about. We would ask the public to understand our action's about. And if I look at the polls and the different things going on about the general election, health is the number one issue, and it should be on everyone's mind. But it's also on our members' mind, and our pay is a key factor in that.
John McPolan from the Ambulance Service, do you think it will cause disruption today?
Good morning, Joel. Joel, being absolutely no doubt that this action today will cause delays in our response to all patients that we respond to. Absolutely.
All
no
patients?
Doubt about that. All patients.
Including 999?
Including 999. We will prioritise as best we possibly can to make sure the most seriously and critically ill patients get as fast a response as possible. But because we are 17 crews down today, there's no way that we can guarantee that our response will be as swift as we would expect. There will be delays. There will be delays in answering calls because the some of the staff in the control centre will only be answering 999 calls and not dealing with routine calls. So across the whole service, there will be delays. I think that is accepted by everybody.
During the last strike, you called a major incident. If you feel the need to, will you do it again?
So all our information this morning is that we're 17 crews down, which means that we have, out of 62 crews, we have 45 on. The last time we called a major incident, we were down to 7 crews. There's absolutely no intention of the ambulance service to call a major incident today in relation to the number of crews that are on duty. We have enough to provide a service. On the last strike, we did not. We had only 7 crews across all of Northern Ireland at midnight, and that was not sufficient for us to provide any sort of cover.
How low would the number have to go for that to happen again?
Well, Joel, I must say, I sat in the room on the last day as people were phoning in saying they wouldn't be reporting for work. We have various levels of escalation. If we have full cover, over 80% cover even, we sit at a green level. We've been operating the past fortnight mostly in an amber level. And then we have 2 other levels below that, which are red and black. If we go into black, we're in a very, very serious situation where we have less than 40% of our cover to cover all of Northern Ireland. And that would where we'd have to be asking very serious questions in terms of looking for help from other agencies, which aren't normally concerned with health. But the major incident was called because staff were actually on station, and we were able to call a major incident to make sure they stayed at the station. On this occasion, the staff are already in, in contact to call the major incident today.
Kevin McAdam has made the point that he claims that the health minister at the time, Edwin Poots, said the money was there. They're looking for this 1% rise. Why have they not got it?
You need to ask the health minister that. That's not within my portfolio to answer that question on behalf of the SPS. We have been informed by the Unite Trade Union at a meeting with them last week.
Yeah, but what have you said? What advice have you given to the department and at Stormont? I mean, you must have a view on the matter.
We have a view that our workers are worth every penny that they absolutely get, and that they have the right to seek what they claim to be a fair wage for a fair day's job.
Are they worth the increase?
Personally speaking, I would say that all health workers are worth the money that they get paid and whatever they feel that they want to get paid. It's a 1% pay rise, and actually, you know, it is between VHS, SPS and the trade unions, and it's not an argument that we want to be getting into. We have to provide the service.
But do you have sympathy for them? I mean, are they worth the increase if it's been applied across other parts of the UK? Do you have sympathy with the unions and the position they find themselves in, and their staff and their members?
From a personal level, I would have extreme sympathy with them. It's a 1% pay rise, which has been awarded across the whole of the UK, and it's a question of them seeking parity of esteem with the rest of the workers, especially ambulance workers across the UK. If they're worth it, then we've seen that our paramedics and our EMTs and our control staff, and that they should expect to be treated exactly the same way.
So,
my personal opinion.
So, you understand why they've done what they are doing today? I mean, they feel as if they've no other option.
Well, when you say that what they're doing today, we are aware that across the whole of health service, that Unite have, since last week, have introduced a work to rule in the same way as Unison, GMB and NHSA have, but for some reason have taken the ambulance service out of that equation and not doing a work to rule, but actually withdrawing labour. From a service which impacts directly on patient care. We're at a bit of a loss to understand why that
Kevin McAdam, why have you done that?
because our members have decided that there's a range of strategies they want to use, that if the message isn't getting through to the department, it's important that we increase the disruption to managing of the service to the point where instead of John talking to me, his chief executive should be up at Stormont demanding to speak to the minister and telling him about the ongoing industrial action and the continuation of the industrial action. So I appreciate entirely what John's saying, but it's not really any good debating it here. He needs to get his chief executive up along with the other chief executive, who, as you see, shows some support for what we're doing. Need to take it to where it matters. The people that pay the purse strings or hold the purse strings are the Department of Health, and that's where we expect and need them to take this issue.
Get your chief executive to deliver the minister to or the message to the minister, John.
Sorry, Joel, I didn't get that point.
Kevin wants you to get your chief executive to deliver the message directly to the minister.
Joel, I'm not in a position to discuss what the chief executive will be doing. What we're here today is to discuss the impact of the strike called only within the ambulance service today, which will impact upon patients. Kevin seemed to think it wouldn't impact upon patients, and if they called their strike today on the belief that it wouldn't impact upon patients, then they were sadly mistaken, because it will directly impact upon patients today.
Kevin, you're in the sort of classic dilemma here, aren't you? Because you want to make the point, for the strike to be effective, you have to cause disruption, as you've already said. But when you cause disruption when it comes to ambulance provision and 999 calls, you know, who knows? It could cost lives.
No health service worker takes the decision to go out and strike lightly, and the ambulance service staff are no different. We don't do it lightly, and we do have the patient concern at heart. We have previously made provision for emergency cover in the event of any critical incident, not a major incident, but a critical incident that is genuine, and we'll do that again. So, yes, it will disrupt the public, but we ask the public to understand this fight is their fight, and this is for the good of their ambulance.
Do you think they do understand that? I mean, I don't know. Listening to it this morning, and some of them may want to let us know, 0845955678. But, I mean, if you are the person at the end of the phone phoning for that ambulance and you're phoning it on behalf of the loved one who is in desperate need of that ambulance and you are suffering a delay because of your strike, are they going to have sympathy for you?
Well, I'm not so sure that level of difficulty will occur. There may be delays in some parts of the service.
Well, John McPoland has said that all patients will suffer.
Well, I don't believe that's the case. Some may be delayed, but there's 999 calls will still be responded to at their normal level, and that's always been an assurance that we've given to the ambulance service.
Well, let's clear that up, because let's clear that up, because John McPoland, you've already said this morning that you think that delays could happen in the case of 999 calls.
They absolutely will. And what I needed to do at the actual context, the last strike, there was a regional agreement which Kevin was part of, whereby the trade unions on the 13th of March undertook to protect emergency services. And that was a regional meeting in Northern Ireland. We came away from that meeting, and on that day, we came away with the expectation there's going to be a level of cover for the day of action. We then got into subsequent conversations with branch officials, not regional officials, branch officials. They told us that they were reverting not to the most recent memorandum of understanding, but they were reverting to a historic document, a national document, in terms of ambulance cover, that they were going to respond only to Category A calls, which equates to 40% of our calls, which meant 50% of the calls, emergency calls, weren't going to be responded to during strike action. That meant, and I'm going to give a real example of that, it's all very well talking about Category A, Category B, and Category C calls. On Stephen's show 3 months ago, there was a gentleman who had been in a wheelchair on the Woodvale Road, and he came out of his wheelchair and suffered facial injuries. On the basis of responding only to life-threatening calls, that gentleman did not be getting an ambulance. I can't see anybody can say that that is fair. I can't see anybody can say that that's justifiable. I can't see anybody can say that an old lady falling in her home without a life-threatening condition would not be getting an ambulance. We want to provide that service to everybody. The action today, the action taken, is empowering upon our ability to do so.
And just to be clear, to go back to what we're talking about, in terms of life-threatening conditions, are you in any position to give a guarantee today that anybody phoning an ambulance in a life-threatening condition, that they won't experience any sort of delay?
We can't give that guarantee. We will get them to as quickly as possible because we have 17 ambulances short. If a life-threatening condition is phoned in while all the other ambulances are engaged on emergency activity, we don't have anybody to send.
So, Kevin McGallum, you can't give that guarantee that today's action will not affect someone in a life-threatening condition.
No, Joel, no one can give guarantees like that. Currently, if you want to go into detail, the other industrial action in terms of the overtime ban has shown up that there's a 30% shortage in staff in the ambulance service. Now, that's a bigger problem, but it's probably not a debate for today. But if you want to point the finger at where problems lie, if that 30% increase in staff was there, then we would be able to deal with this industrial action effectively. But again, the industrial action, let me repeat, is not about damaging the public.
But they are the people who will be damaged. That's the point. You can't have a successful strike, as you've already said this morning, without disruption. The people who are being disrupted are the people who you will be looking towards for sympathy, and you have already said this morning, you're trying to fight a battle on their behalf as well as you see it. But I'm making the point that someone at the other end of the phone, if they're looking for the ambulance and it's not coming for them, that level of sympathy, I would suggest, maybe would not be there.
And I'm saying that one of the reasons we're in the position we're in is the Department of Health, the paymasters, will not get round the table, will not engage, and continuously and repeatedly break their word in terms of the pay review body.
But it's why involving the people, the ordinary punter who needs the service, why you feel that is the only way of breaking that logjam?
Because logjam is exactly where we are, and this is how trade unions address the problem. We don't take industrial action lightly, but this is the final straw in our negotiating strategy. We have failed to get the department to even sit down with us and genuinely commit to negotiate. And this is, we don't want to be on strike, and our members do not want to be doing this. But it's the only way we know we have left to try and bring a bit of sense by the department and the minister over this issue. And let me just say, Joel, that you talk about the public and the people who may suffer. They all have a vote tomorrow, and they should remember that.
Well, I'm sure they will. We're going to talk to some of them actually now. Gavin's on the line this morning. Morning, Gavin.
Morning, Joel.
What do you make of this this morning?
I think that they should give something back to the public because they're taking their take. After all, the public pay their wages. And the end of the day, why don't they give up their sick pay and take a 1% raise and give something back to the people who pay their wages?
You're not happy with the strike action? Kevin McAdam's still there. What do you say to him this morning?
Kevin, why don't you negotiate with the public and give up your sick pay instead of being bumper's puppets?
Well, I don't see why we would negotiate away something. Because those are things that we've fought for and achieved, and we're not about
to give up. Those are the things that you are getting paid to do. That's your job.
Yes.
Yeah, correct. You get paid well to do your job. Where's the problem?
But why should they settle for anything less than what someone doing the same job right across another part of the United Kingdom is getting?
Because it's more expensive to live there. That's why.
Dimpna's in Uri this morning. Morning, Dimpna.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
Grant. I'm ringing on behalf of the ambulance men who deserve to have a pay rise. I was listening to a report on the radio a few weeks ago, and they were talking about how the private ambulance bill had gone up millions, and yet they were cutting back on the ambulance service, and ambulance men had lost their jobs and all that, and the ambulance service is second to none. Here, they're absolutely wonderful, and I think they deserve to have their pay rise, but I think the health service are cutting, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Do you support them going on strike today?
I do, yes.
You think that's the right decision?
Because ambulance men have lost their jobs, and they are priceless, those ambulance men who come to pick up patients. They are marvellous. And the private ambulance bill has gone up, and I think they should attend to the ordinary ambulance men.
D- Thanks for your call this morning. John McPoland, I'm coming from my sporting background and to fill the big seat today, but listening to the programme and so many times, you know, there are issues that come up between the drivers and the paramedics and the management of the service. I mean, to sort of take a footballing phrase, I mean, have you lost the dressing room on this one?
This dispute today, Joel, is about the 1% pay raise. We have had issues which have been well aired on your show, on Stephen's show, about difficulties that we're experiencing in terms of industrial relations.
But you've already heard you're getting a bit of the blame here. You know, Kevin McAdam is saying, you know, you and your chief executive, you're not doing enough to make the case heard at Stormont, at the minister's door on their behalf, and they're suggesting you have a better chance of getting his ear than what they have.
Well, I'm not sure if Kevin would be fully aware of what conversations take place between the ministers and the chief executive, nor am I. So it's not, again, it's not something that I can actually pass a corporate view on, to be perfectly honest, Joel. But you're asking me about the relationship between our workforce. We have, since the last strike, we have held meetings with the trade unions to discuss the best way forward. We are canvassing views of our staff on some of the particular issues which have been raised. The results of that survey are due or closes actually tomorrow, and we'll be able to look at the returns from our staff and see what there is that we can move forward. The last lady on your show there was 100% right that our ambulance staff are wonderful people. They go out and they provide a life-saving service, and they, when they arrive at people's doors, people automatically feel better. We just wish that we had more people out on the road today to provide that service to the people.
Mark is on the line this morning. He wants to talk to you. John, morning, Mark.
Hello, good morning. John, I'd just like to make a point. You made the point there with regard to the fact that, I'd just like to say, start off, I support the ambulance men's right to go on strike today for 1%, because if their colleagues are getting it throughout the rest of the UK, they should be entitled to it as well. And you get people coming on and they're saying, you know, it's your job and everything else. Who do they want to do the job? Everybody comes on about, and they always castigate public servants. At the end of the day, if you put someone else in that job, they'd expect a fair wage for it. But the point I wanted to say was that you're saying that by these people going out on strike today, that the level of cover has been reduced. I think that someone alluded to the point earlier on that on any given day, the level of cover in Belfast, the number of ambulances on duty have been reduced by 40%. So surely, and I know it's not the health minister needs to look at that every other day that there's ambulance men on duty. Do you know what I'm saying? The level of patient's care then must be reduced. If you have 7 ambulances on before, and now you've only got it down to 4, well, surely then the response times have to go up.
John?
Well, you're obviously close to that information, Mark, and we do appreciate what you're saying in terms of reduced levels of cover. It is something that we monitor every single day. If you go back as far as last August, when we were on the Nolan Show, when there was a clamour about us with 15 crews short throughout the province, we undertook at that particular time to look at the vacancies that we have within the organisation. To fill the vacancies of paramedics, the EMTs, does take time. It takes a recruitment process. It does take a training programme. Since then, we have put out a number of paramedics. We were oversubscribed for our paramedics. More than 20 paramedics are now filling posts within the EMT structure. We currently have an EMT course ongoing, the first of the EMT courses, to try and reduce the levels of unfilled posts, and we're working towards a full quota of staff, and that does take time, but we are on that road. And we
sorry to interrupt you, but you're coming on and you're basically, from my point of view, you're basically coming on and you're scaremongering, because you're turning around and going, you don't know that the level of care that those people are going to get today is going to be reduced. Okay, you've got less crews on, but you've just admitted that over the last year or 2 years in Belfast, the number of ambulances on any given day have reduced by 40%.
Yeah, but I think everybody has accepted that that there will be a disruption, a delay that normally wouldn't be there as a result of the strike. I think that's the point.
There would have been staff on today if this strike action hadn't been taking place. There would have been more crews available. There still would have been a shortage. We accept that, and we are working towards that, as I outlined. But because of the strike action today, we are more crews short. So that will impact upon the service we deliver today.
Would you worry, Mark, as someone who obviously has an interest in this, and I don't know if it affects you directly or someone close to you, but you as someone who supports the strike and is close to this, would you worry that the whole sort of tactic of a strike around something as important as this, where it who knows, and hopefully not, could mean life or death? Would you worry that would affect public sympathy and how the public would feel?
No, I don't, because I think at the end of the day that someone has to take it. You have to take a stand, because the public servants, I mean, I've been on this programme before. I'm a trade unionist myself, right? And the public servants, civil servants, public servants, they're always the first to get castigated because they stand up for what they believe in. And the point is, you know, you can't, you give them, they're only asking for something that they're entitled to. 1%, 1%, and the rest of the UK are entitled to it. And your first caller come on there and says, yes, it's more expensive to live in the rest of the United Kingdom. That's not an excuse. Our men and women are entitled to have the same, given the same party of treatment as anywhere else in the United Kingdom.
Mark, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're up against, I'm already late for the news. I want to squeeze Margaret in very quickly and down Patrick this morning. Morning, Margaret.
Hello.
Hello, Margaret. Go on ahead.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying this morning on the radio. And I work in the health service, and I know ambulance men and nurses do a wonderful job. But it worries me because there's girls out in the community working in the private sector. They're on £7 an hour, 0 hours contracts. If the wages go down, they get less pay. They have to pay their rent as normal. They're fighting with the various people in the government's departments to try and get rent money. They're running their cars with no petrol money, battered old cars. And the girls come in to me and I happen to ask them, how much do you get an hour? And one wee girl said £7. Because I worked for the trust, I asked, do you get petrol? Oh, no, we don't get petrol. One girl told me she drove 1,000 miles in a week. Now, they're doing 15-minute call, toileting calls. They are actually relying on their compassion, but you can't pay in 15 minutes.
So, to all of those in the service, you would have a lot of support for, Margaret?
I have support for them in the service, but there's nobody standing up for the girls who are in the community. Oh. They're putting these people out into the community and relying on the compassion of the girls in the community who want to work.
Margaret, thanks for your call this morning. Thanks also to John McPolan from the Ambulance Service, and also to Kevin McAdam from Unite.